We be casting off now.
Look here, Sugar Queen.
Sugar Queen?
Uncle, I need 2 jasmine, 1 green, and 1 lychee.
I'm brewing as fast as I can.
I don't need any calming tea.
I'm completely calm.
I must find the Avatar to restore my honor.
It's okay. You can laugh.
It's funny. My speech is laugh. It's pretty and poetic, but also scary and beautiful.
Should we do something?
Hey, I'm just enjoying the show.
Hello and welcome to the all-new reformatted From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongbuFang.net. I'm your main host for today, Dylan, and I'm also joined by Jason.
Hello.
And Jason is the great J Spirit some places, and I'm also joined by Kevin.
Hello.
And Kevin is alternate Copa from DH and other places too. Any questions, comments, or advice can be sent to us at podcast@dongbufang.net. Send us questions you have about Avatar so we can answer them in the mailbag segment we'll have once we start getting emails. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and vote for the podcast on Podcast Alley and other places. Both links can be found on the podcast page, which is dongbufang.net/podcast. Starting today, our podcast is reformatted. We'll have more fan interaction and it will be less boring.
We hope.
We hope. We'll be having the Avatar news and DongbuFang news in one segment. And we'll be having now 10-minute discussions, which our first of which today will be the Avatar spirit and power versus no Avatar spirit and love. It's a huge discussion. We'll be having the first of our Avatar impromptu segments, where us hosts voice the Avatar characters in going impromptu, following a light swipe.
It's going to take time. We're going to try it out. We're going to give it a shot. And this is going to be hilarious, I have no doubt.
Yeah, should be stupid funny. Stupid and funny. Our second discussion topic will be Bending Part 2, following up on our last discussion last podcast. And we'll be starting the first of our fan creation review segments, and it will be on the fanfic on Homecoming and Parties by Live the Magic. And then we'll have a special interview by Kevin, which you'll see later. And most of you
oh,
are...
Oh, yes.
Most of you are probably listening to this podcast for the revelation of the 307 title. That will be at the end of the show. I know you all love me for that. Okay, let's go to the Avatar news.
All right, here we are. Avatar news. First up, the Book 2 Volume 2 DVD has been released with commentaries from Mark DiMartino, Brian Konietzko, Ethan Spalding, Giancarlo Vlope, and Josh Hamilton on select episodes. So with those guys, the commentary should be pretty cool. In other news, Appa's Lost Days has won the Outstanding Children's Programming Award and the Genesis Awards for a mystical tale about animals held captive for human entertainment that resonates with the way animals are used in circuses today. Lastly, Avatar has been nominated for a Platform International Film Festival Award. The festival will be held from June 25th to June 30th in Portland, Oregon. So, if you happen to be in the rainy state, be sure you check it out.
Now for your DongbuFang news. The DongbuFang character tournament has begun. There will be 130 characters, and they'll be competing in head-to-head matchups every 3 days, and you pick who wins each matchup. The tournament will go for 5.5 months, and at the end, one character will be the winner in the biggest, most accurate Avatar character popularity contest ever. Come join us at the new DongbuFang forums. We have a brand new layout and a community section where you can talk and meet new people. Now for our first discussion topic on the Avatar spirit versus no Avatar spirit.
For the first discussion topic, this is probably one of the most talked about things in the online community. Will reveal for Aang, mastering the Avatar state and having power, or not using the Avatar state, fighting normally, and with the love of the gang? And which one will be used to defeat the Fire Lord? Why should we go into the Avatar state?
Well, the Avatar state's the realistic way right now. How else would he be able to defeat Ozai, I guess, without all that power? And
well, I think the big issue is with the Avatar state is he can't control it right now. And actually, we as an audience, I don't think, even realize that he had control. All we know is that he kind of goes into a coma state where he doesn't really have a conscious control of his body or thoughts anymore and just goes psycho. You know, it's the Avatar state is almost like a reaction.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we learned, I think, at the end of this last season now, that it's possible to control the Avatar state. You know, that's what the guru, Patrick, was teaching him. You know, it's possible to go into the Avatar state but still have control over your faculties. You know what you're doing. You know how you're directing it and using it. And that opens up a whole new world of you know, power for Aang to use, rather than having to choose between, oh my gosh, do I put myself in a state where I could kill everybody around me, including my friends, or do I try to fight him with just the skills that I have?
Yeah. And that's the... So if he is actually able to master the Avatar state, that would involve giving up love, pretty much, in general. Seems the more Avatar-like thing to do, but is it?
Well, which is an interesting point to bring up, and this is something I want to draw a parallel with, something that I remember hearing about in Star Wars, if I can. I hate to be the Star Wars geek, but I'm going to bring it back up. You guys like Star Wars?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you won't put me on a stake and hurt me too badly. But do you remember when in Episode 2 came out, and George Lucas revealed that Jedis aren't allowed to marry and aren't allowed to love, you know, and have romantic relationships? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember thinking that's kind of weird, and then I heard his explanation of it, and Lucas was saying that, you know, well, a Jedi can't be involved with people. He has to be able to let go of things. He can't have such attachments.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that is the most retarded thing I've ever heard. But when I stopped and I thought about it, and now when I see this thing that Guru Patrick is telling Aang he has to let go, I thought about it for a moment. You know, if you look at Aang and what he can do, and if you look at someone like a Jedi, if the average person, let's say, loves somebody and somehow they get jealous or they get distraught because that person is in peril or hurt, the average person might get mad or angry or might kind of have a huffy fit. They don't actually, you know, blow up entire cities or force choke people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The average person, if they get jealous and have emotional troubles, can't hurt anybody as badly as, let's say, Aang, who has this immense power, could just go into the Avatar state like we've seen, kill lots of people and cause lots of damage. So he almost has an extra responsibility to not be someone who can lose it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's maybe why he has to let go of some of those kinds of attachments. I don't think it's necessary that he has to not love Katara. I think he has to be not so attached to her. He has to be able to be willing to let her go for the greater good,
yeah,
if necessary.
And also so that, like, he can concentrate on that power instead of having this other thing lingering around, which is Katara, and not having to concentrate on her as well. So he can focus all of his energy on one thing, which I think the Avatar is so powerful. Why can't he do so many things at once, really?
Exactly. It all comes down to, is he going to be able to master it in time? And I think that's something that we might see up to the very last second in the third season, him struggling with.
Yeah, and I think actually might actually be solved early in the season. And this gets into why not, because that if you master it, it's like you're not Aang anymore. You're giving up the Aang side and sticking with the Avatar side.
True.
And also, this is one of the main points. If the world sees Aang defeat the Ozai or whoever's the Fire Lord with power and the Avatar state, it doesn't send the right message out. As much as it does if he just defeats him normally with the gang, shows how love prevails and that everyone should get along.
Oh yeah, well, but he defeats him?
Yeah, either way.
Well, I guess it all depends on the nature of his defeat. Does he kind of, you know, give him a spanking and tell him to be good from now on, or does he actually, you know, in some giant megalithian kind of ending, does he fall onto, you know, a volcano and be destroyed? And, you know, because, again, we haven't seen death on the show specifically.
Yeah.
We've kind of seen hinted death. We know that we think Zhao is pretty much kind of wiped out by the mega, you know, fish water spirit. But
Jet died.
And, yeah, Jet, of course, we quasi died. Mm-hmm. We know it is confirmed,
yes.
But of course it was really, really lightly handled.
Yeah.
Which I have to get.
Yue.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't die. She transferred.
So pretty much dead.
I don't think it's dead as much as she's like a spirit now. But
yeah, she sacrificed, which was a little more heartwarming for children,
yeah.
I guess.
And I think either way, though, Ozai's going to have to, or whoever's the Fire Lord, they're going to have to die. I don't think you can just be good randomly.
So if they're going to die, then you have to wonder, well, is anybody, you know, going to truly view him as having done it, you know, altruistically or not?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and that matter. And see, if he kills him with the Avatar state, it's going to be like, whoa, why is this person going to be pretty much the savior of the world if he's just going to be spreading the violence even more that the Fire Nation started?
True. Very true. One thing, though, that I have noticed that's interesting about the Avatar state, where I don't quite know if this is the Avatar state or not, is there have been times and instances where he seems to have channeled his past lives. Have you noticed that? Where he did it with Kyoshi, he did it with Roku in the first season. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that's part of the Avatar state when it's under control. If you can channel, again, because the Avatar state is supposed to be the power of all the past Avatars placed upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that another element of the control? When you have control of that state, you're actually able to channel all these past individuals to help you and can even, I don't know, summon them in some way.
Yeah, maybe. That's interesting.
Most importantly, Roku.
Yeah, right. Roku would definitely be able to help
him.
When
Aang's mouth glows, that's Roku helping him or any other avatar.
Yeah.
Right, and he speaks with almost their voice. Also, another interesting thing, though, is if you noticed, remember when Kyoshi in the everybody's favorite episode that they love to hate, which is Avatar Day?
I love to hate that.
I didn't mind it. It was goofy. Sokka pipe thing could have gone. But anyway, listen, what I'm getting at is, remember when they had the flashback to Kyoshi and she was telling her story? And I forget the general's name. I'm so bad. I'm a bad fan. General Chin, was it?
Yeah, Chin the Great.
Chin the Great. She was fighting Chin the Great. Do you remember? Her eyes glowed. They flashed and they glowed when she summoned up her power to separate the island into Kyoshi Island and what was left of the mainland. So she was actually, I think, in the Avatar state, but she was in a complete control of it. She didn't, go psycho and blow things up. She actually had force and control and to move the islands apart, and then she was able to come back down out of it.
That's interesting.
So that brings a question. Would Aang be able to do the same thing?
Yeah, and it's also...
And still be himself.
Also, that brings up a point that I have to make. Is the Avatar state even meant to be controlled?
Mm.
Because in the first episode, we learn it's a defense mechanism, and it's supposed to kick in once you're really in danger. And it's pretty. That's what it's meant to be, a defense mechanism.
Well, in the first Avatar escape thing with Roku, Roku says that you need to master...
Don't bring up the... Jason, no. No Avatar escape. Avatar escape is not canon. We can't... Oh. I don't even want to bring that up. Because that's going to...
Fire the cannons!
Not that canon. Because that's going to get confusing if we bring up Avatar escape. It's been... Yeah, it's not canon. Think we asked.
That hurt. That breaks my heart. That was so cool. I was like, this is awesome. And then I heard the news that it wasn't canon. It's like, what?
Yeah. But I guess they're all that. Yeah, it's just a Nick.com thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Darn it.
Any continuations on that? Is the Avatar state meant to be controlled?
Meant to be controlled? I don't know that we know enough, that we've learned enough about it. It seems like... It can be from the hints that we've got from listening to Guru Pathik and what he was trying to teach Aang to do. But, I don't know. Mm. And wouldn't it be something, though, if at the very end maybe it isn't Aang that defeats the Fire Lord?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
It's Avatar spawned together.
No, that's not what that would be the Avatar spirit.
Could happen.
State. Yeah.
I mean, they kind of kept Aang innocent and nice at the end of the first season's finale.
Yeah.
We saw that the water spirit kind of dumped him and let go of him before it went and grabbed Zhao and killed him, so Aang wouldn't be blamed for that necessarily.
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe there's something that will come about. Maybe Ozai will destroy himself, or ooh, I'm going to throw this out here. Some people are going to hate me. Some people are going to love me. What if Zuko is the one to defeat his own father?
I definitely think that's a possibility.
Ooh, but that's getting off topic. I won't go too far into that.
No, that's okay, but yeah. So,
I also want to mention, each generation the Avatar is born, it gets stronger and stronger when it's in the Avatar state.
Mm-hmm.
So you only control over that over time.
Mm-hmm. I see. I still think that from the information we have, mastering the Avatar state is not a natural thing. It's something that some people have learned to do. Some Avatars, some the gurus, like, it's focusing your energy on the Avatar state when it's meant to be a defense mechanism so that nothing goes wrong.
And I don't think you can fully control the Avatar state. There's only a certain extent.
I agree, yeah.
And clearing the seven chakras helps that.
So not as much, really, as you would think total control. So maybe he doesn't have to give up Katara fully. Maybe just some of his concentration on her?
Well, I would hope so. for all the Katangs out there, Katangers, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope for their sake.
Oh, yeah.
If he's willing to sacrifice himself to Ozai, then he'll need to do the best he can to get the most control out of the Avatar state by being unattached.
And this is where we bring up the other side now. I completely disagree that he needs that. He has Katara, a master waterbender, Toph, a pretty much master earthbender, he's Sokka there, and then he has whoever's firebending teacher is going to be. He has enough people on his side to make up his own avatar state and defeat him with the love of everyone around him. I think that would send a better message to the world and send... Make it...
Definitely. I agree with Katara.
All the better. Make it... It's better for Aang, too.
It's something they've all done together, right?
Yeah. And probably where the show is going right now, actually.
But, you know, you might have a Frodo moment with Aang, too, possibly. You know, where he decides he doesn't want to put all of his friends in danger, and he wants to go... He tries to go off on his own, maybe.
Yeah, and we've seen that in the Winter Solstice Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's up to Sokka, Katara, and Toph to sell them. They're with him all the time. Because without that, Aang... If it's just Aang fighting the whole Fire Nation... And Ozai, if he sets out to that on his own with the Avatar State, he's probably going to die without the support from everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Of course, didn't he already die? Ooh.
Yes, he actually did already die.
Which brings up another question. Will he be able to go into the Avatar State anymore at all? Will he be forced to have to face him on different terms?
Yeah, is the Avatar State broken or not? But we went into that a little bit in the past podcast.
I know.
Yeah, there's so many questions.
So many.
Yep. And so then, which will benefit the world more? I think we've already went over it's the no Avatar State. It'll help the world. It'll help them send the right message. It'll show them that love is the right path to go on, not power.
Exactly.
Oh, but I'm still looking forward to some major Ozai butt-kicking going on.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll probably happen.
Mm-hmm. So I think I've established my individual opinion on this. Jason, Kevin?
I'll let it go for now. No, that's cool.
Chicken.
That's
cool.
The purpose of the show is to achieve balance. And with that, you need love, you need power.
I agree.
So it's a mixture.
With that, you need the
His friends are integral to him. They will be a major focus. He won't be able to do anything without his friends, without a doubt.
Yeah.
True.
So maybe a mixture for you guys? Or leaning towards flat up opinion, anyone?
Flat up opinion? I don't know. It's so hard to say still. So hard to say. I'll tell you one thing. I can never tell where these guys are taking this series now. I thought I had, at the end of the season two, I thought I had everything figured out, and then they threw in the twist of Zuko rejoining Azula, and I did not see that for the life of me coming.
Yep.
So who knows where these guys are going to go with this?
Yeah. I can totally see a scene, though, where Aang goes in the Avatar state, maybe just like getting mad at Sokka, even. And then Katara has to calm him down again, and eventually he just figures out it's not worth it.
Because Aang's not going to be able to go into the Avatar state. Is that an Avatar escape thing?
What?
What's that?
If he can't go into the Avatar state for a long time because he's hurt?
No, that's an Avatar escape thing. That's not true.
Yeah.
It's just speculation. So.
Darn you, Avatar escape!
Failed us again.
So I think actually if he can figure out a way to stop the Avatar state in general, or if it's not there anymore, I actually think that would be best, too, if you don't have that reaction, don't have that defense, because that could hurt more people.
Well, certainly, losing control of yourself in a situation, especially where you're facing someone like Ozai, is not what you want.
Oh, yeah. So, one of the extremes, pretty much, I think, has to do it. Either has to master it, or he has to get rid of it.
Either gets total control, or nothing.
Yeah. And that would be pretty much the only two ways to go.
And that we are agreed.
Yes.
And who watches over the Avatar state? Is it triggered by Aang's anger, or does Roku watch over Aang, and does he decide to trigger it to help Aang?
Now that's difficult, because if you think about it, Roku is Aang.
Yes.
Which is Roku, which is Aang, which is Kyoshi, which is my brain is falling.
It's a mechanism. So
When
I think it's triggered when Aang's in danger. No one triggers it. Aang triggers it. When he has that emotion, someone around him is going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. It kicks in. It's like an instinct, right?
I guess. It's a whole spiritual, genetical...
No, that's not a spirit genetic debate.
Kind of.
Because,
spirit with Avatar Roku and the...
That's spirit thing. Spiritual.
And the mental control with the chakras.
Yeah. It's Aang triggering it, though. Either way. If he triggers it, though, or if he's triggering it. It's based on anything that if he's in danger, he's triggering it. If he controls it, he's triggering it. Him as the line of the avatars and as himself. Okay. Last minute, anything?
Last minute? Nope, we're good.
I think we put in all our opinions.
Okay.
We've said our piece.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so now let's move into the Avatar Impromptu segment. This should be interesting. See what happens. Okay, so see you there.
Even if you're lost, you can't lose the love because it's in your heart.
Avatar Impromptu will be a segment where we will imitate the characters' voices and say stuff without a script. There will be a general outline, though not more. This segment is meant to be stupid and funny in hopes of making the podcast a little less boring. And we're not making fun of the characters in any way, we're just trying to be funny here. In a...
But we are butchering their voices, so give us some slack. We acknowledge our feelings.
Yeah, we're going to be pretty bad on this. The only one I think that's close is... Iroh with Kevin. So yeah, let's get into that. Here are the roles for today. I'm going to be Aang for today, and I'm also going to be doing Katara. Yeah, they're really bad, but I've got the highest voice here, so...
And I'm going to be doing Sokka! And of course, Iroh.
And I'm going to be doing Toph!
And all of them, Zuko.
This is going to be terrible. So let's just get started on it.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, so this is impromptu, so if we take pauses, it's because, yeah. We're starting off there. All the characters are in a forest, I guess, outside of Ba Sing Se or something. And, yeah, Toph and Katara are getting into a fight. And then hilarity ensues.
Katara, I want to know why you've been consorting with the enemy in the Crystal Castle.
Enemy? What do you mean? Zuko, I would never...
Oh, shut up.
Shut up? You want me to shut up?
You want a piece of me?
Excuse me, ladies. Excuse me, ladies. What's going on here?
Sokka, stay out of this. What were you saying, Tom?
Being a peacemaker is my thing, but, you know, if you just want to tell me to shove off, I guess I have no choice. Tell me. What's going on?
Tom here thinks I was getting close with Zuko. And what was that again?
Oh, he's a villain.
I wasn't close with him. I was halfering to heal his scar because I had the water there.
Well, you know, you did talk about him an awful lot after that experience with the pirates.
Shut up! Guys...
Didn't your mama tell you never to talk to villains?
Hey guys, what's going on?
Oh, the girls are having a catfight.
Oh, what's it about? Nothing, Aang. Toph's just being a...
The most awesomest...
That's not what
world.
I was gonna say.
Oh, yeah, you know...
Maybe you're just jealous that I actually got to spend some time with a guy.
Oh, good one. I love it.
Katara, what are they talking about?
You should stop being a little sugar queen.
No, not... Aang, it's nothing, really.
Yeah, that's exactly what... She doesn't know what she's talking
no,
about.
No, you don't know what you're talking about. You
oh,
shut
up.
Too bad we don't have any fire flakes here. This would be great popcorn entertainment.
Katara, stay a bit. Just don't get into a fight. We're all family here. Come on.
I am Zuko. Give me the Avatar and I'll be on my way.
Aw, don't be like that. Come on, we can all get along.
Zuko! Zuko, stay back.
Avatar's mine.
Let's
go. Oh no.
Aang!
You'll never get
Come on, Toph, mind. Let's go. We gotta get Aang.
Zoom. Oh no, it looks like Toph and Katara have run off after Zuko. Whatever shall I do? Well, I think I shall go look for Katara and Toph in these here bushes. Oh, who is this I have run into?
Why, hello there, young man.
Don't I know you from somewhere?
Why, I don't know. Do I know you from somewhere?
What kind of a question is that?
It is a question with which we must look deep within ourselves for... We cannot find the answers simply by asking them of strangers.
But I don't think you're a stranger. I think I've seen you someplace before. Hey, you're with that crazy guy who used to have a ponytail who chases after us. Aren't you related to him?
I do not know him. I have... no. Would you like some tea?
Okay, sure. What kind do you have?
We have jasmine, Earl Grey... But that's English, and the world hasn't been discovered yet, so forget that I said that.
All right, Sugar Queen.
I guess so, Toph. Just don't be such a...
Sorry, Katara. It's just that you're so pretty.
Don't, no.
Everybody likes you, and...
No.
There's such a
Beauty is in
You're not
the
even
eye
there.
Of the Oh, I'm very sorry. I'll go back to having tea with Sokka now.
Hey, who was that?
I don't know. Whatever, let's keep going. Aang can't be that far ahead.
Let's go. Let's find Aang. Yeah. Let's find that little twinkle toes.
Aang, where are you?
Twinkle toes!
So tell me, young man, do you hear those voices out there? Yeah, what the heck? Why are they straining their voices calling for him? I don't think they'll ever find him just by shouting. It is true. One should never strain his voice just to find someone who is not there.
That means absolutely nothing.
That is the beauty of being old and wise. You can spout off all sorts of junk, and everyone will pay attention.
This really isn't the best advice to be giving, is it?
How did you figure?
Look, I don't have time for this anymore. Look, the tea is nice and all, but I've really got to get after looking for my sister and her would-be boyfriend, Aang.
Toph, they can't be that far ahead.
I think I see him.
Katara, help!
Hey, Twinkle Toes, look over here! We're coming to get
you. Okay.
Oh, no, not them.
Prince Zuko, you should release the Avatar. This is not right.
Why, Uncle?
Because I am old, wise, I play Pai Show. And remember when I told you you should cut your ponytail? That worked out good for you. The chicks dig you now.
Listen, you old gasbag. I'm capturing the Avatar, and you can't do anything about it.
Gasbag? I haven't had any tacos today. How can you call me a gas bag? I usually only get that way after fresh jasmine tea.
Listen, Uncle. I'm so close to capturing the Avatar. Only
so close? He's under your arm. How much closer do you need to be?
Yeah, he's right. You practically have
Iron Nation is not too long away. And the ship is at the coast, which is only a mile away. Once I get to the ship, I can transport him to the Fire Nation, to my father. And he'll restore my rightful place on the throne. Come on, Uncle, you gotta give me a chance.
Your father's been on the throne for years now. I told him to get off, but he enjoys reading his magazines. I told him as long as he's in there, he should at least run the fan.
Uncle, you old little...
I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
Tea has made my mind quite fuzzy these days.
Zuko!
Oh, yeah, go back into the bish. Bush.
Zuko, let it go. Let him go.
Yeah, you big enemy. Let the kid go.
Get the...
He ain't done anything to
you. Hey, guys. Oh, jeez, I had to run fast to catch up with that old dude.
Sokka.
Did I just say dude? I'm sorry. There's no references to dude in this universe. My apologies.
Sokka, go rescue Aang.
I got him, Toph. I'll take care of this.
Oh.
Katara, I'm free.
Wow, Aang, way to play the hero. You did absolutely nothing.
You're not getting away this
time.
Give me the Avatar and I'll leave your friends alone.
Never, Zuko. We can take care of you ourselves.
Yeah, well, how? Show me your best.
Oh, my best, eh? Well, I don't know. You're showing your best today in those clothes.
Oh, man.
Good one, Katara.
Don't you agree, Toph?
Oh, yeah. Now let's kick this guy's butt. Wait, what? Oh!
Aang, I'm coming.
Is it over?
Please, no more. Uncle, help me.
I'm sorry, but I am now on the throne. You'll have to take care of this yourself.
Uncle, you traitor.
I guess I did have some tacos.
Aang, you okay?
Okay, you go.
Yeah, Katara, thanks for saving me so much. I don't know what I'd do without you. Aang, it's okay. You're usually the one saving. It's about time. About time some people will be looking out for you. We're here for you, Aang. Thanks, Katara. Hug.
So, Zuko, I like your butt. Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, come on. I know you like me. I've seen the way you look at me. Get away from me, you little freak.
No. You should never tell a woman to get away. Assuming
oh,
that's
yeah,
a woman.
What do you know about women, you one-man life person?
Oh, please. Please. I can tell when a woman has Betty Davis eyes for a man and when she does not. You have a good thing going. Trust me, you blew it with that girl back in the Earth Kingdom.
She's 5 years older than me. I mean, younger than me.
What does age matter? After all.
All right. Another battle lost. Come on, Uncle, let's go.
Very well.
One day. Maybe one day. You still think I have another chance, Uncle?
Of course. When you're my age.
Oh, Uncle. Slap.
Wah, 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 wah.
And that ends it. That was
terrible.
Oh,
that was brutal. Oh, I will never live this down.
I think I was the worst there. Kevin, you saved us.
Oh,
okay,
dear.
So yeah. Hopefully that was at least feeling pity funny.
That wasn't that bad. I was expecting much worse.
Lots
yes,
of
I will edit a lot of this.
Folks, I hope you hear the edited
Please,
version of
yeah,
that.
Hopefully you'll get that out. Oh, my God. Okay, now, so we're transferring from funny to serious again. We're going to move back into bending number 2 segment. Yeah, and we're going to have a discussion on that. So, and again, the title will be revealed at the end of the show. Stick around.
Long, long way to Ba Sing Se, but the girls in the city, they look so pretty. Come on, we're talking a gold piece here. Let's see some action. Dance! The snake is so sweet that you really got to meet the girls from Ba Sing Se.
Say.
Good job.
Yeah, that was you singing, Kevin. Good job. Okay, here's our next topic here. We're going to be going into our discussion on bending. We'll be continuing from our discussion on bending today because of how well it went last podcast. We'll mostly be discussing whether bending is genetics or spiritual again, and I'll present an addition to my theory. So, first, we haven't had opinions from Kevin yet on what you think it is. Mind explaining to us?
Genetics or spiritual, the bending ability. Well, I think it's a bit of both, actually. If you look at the evidence that we've been presented with, I mean, obviously there has to be some genetic level to it. Otherwise, why aren't there Fire Nations born in the Water Tribe? You know, Fire Nation benders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why aren't there people from other bending abilities born into the other groups or the other kingdoms? We don't see that happening. We don't know that there's a firebender being born in Ba Sing Se. That doesn't happen. So there has to be some genetic lineage within the group of people where they are regionally that gives them the ability to bend. However, I think it was stated somewhere in an interview with the creator somewhere that it was something also spiritual, because there's a certain point in their life where they either realize that, you know, that they have the ability to enhance it and actually make it happen and make it work, or they just choose kind of not to, or they don't choose to develop it spiritually, I guess you could say. So I think everybody has the genetic ability to do so, but not everybody does it. Not everybody latches onto it or finds it within themselves to be able to do it. Because do you remember in the episode, I think it was the fortune teller, where you had the two twins? And the one's like, oh, I can earthbend. The other one's, I can't. So we know that there's at least, you know, some separation in how they're able to bring it about
in
themselves.
So you think that's being the twins is more spiritual, not as much as one twin actually got the earthbending gene, one didn't?
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say, but I think from the comments that, like I said, I heard from the creators where they said it's something that, you know, every point in someone's life they find out that they have either the ability to do it or they don't have the knack to do it. You know, some people have the ability to be athletic.
Yeah.
They are born that way. And some people are not, you know, don't have the makeup to be athletic. Well, that the famous quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger, I wasn't born with this body. You know, back before his more famous quote was, the great state of California. It's something that you of course, when you master something, you work towards it. You work out, you know, you build up towards it. You build your skills. You do like Aang and Katara have done. You find yourself a master who can teach you to do it. But
I'm
going with this. You lost me. Help me out here, guys. Pull me out of the ditch.
That's a
pretty
much
explain
to my theory. What you're saying is exactly what I'm saying. That you're born with it or you're not. You have the genetic or not. But also when you go there, you have to train your spiritual inside to make it so you can be a better bender.
So
right.
It's triggered genetically, and then you need spiritual ability to help train it and master your elements.
Right. Right, because we saw that Katara could do simple things. Like, remember when she bent in the very first episode, she pulled the fish out of the water when she was bending the water droplet. You know, maybe that's as far as somebody takes it who has the ability to water bend. Maybe they never really trained themselves to be a warrior or fighter with it.
You can.
But you can. You can. If you train yourself spiritually, mentally, and physically, you can master it even to greater extents.
How about another part of my theory was that the Avatar is all four elements inside him. Do you think that it's that, or do you think Aang just has that airbending gene and gets the rest from spiritual?
I think the Avatar is a completely different entity than anybody else in this universe. Because if you really look at it, I mean, there doesn't seem to be anybody else in the universe who reincarnates. Right, he's a unique spirit, and the form that he takes on might have. I guess if you wanted to get into that again, I don't know if there's this much thought put into it, even in the show itself, honestly. But he reincarnates into a form in each new nation, so there's that genetic information of being an airbender. But I think his spiritual side wins out over his genetic ability to do one thing alone. Do you know what I mean? So maybe there's something genetically there when that spirit is reborn into a new body, that it brings all the past information and all the past abilities into it along with it. So it's hard to say with Aang because he's so, differently and unique. The Avatars are so differently and unique.
So you think the genetics, the other genetics, the genes, are brought with the reincarnating spirit?
I think so. I think it's brought in the new body that's chosen.
But since it's four elements and you have no other choice, that's why it's more spiritual than genetic than the Avatar.
Right. And obviously... Obviously, he didn't start off with an inclination to be a firebender or a waterbender. You know what I mean? He started off with an inclination to be an airbender because that's who he was around, number one. That's, I guess, who he felt the natural instinct to, being born in the Air Nation. But he obviously had it within him, and he could feel it and know that he was able to waterbend and do all these other things.
So, but sticking with my theory on this, let's say, I still think that, not really as much, there are many possibilities in this that make sense, that... the Avatar has fire, water, earth, air genes inside. And that most people, even if they have two in, which is very rare because of outside nation marrying other people outside of your nation, that you still can only have the physical or spiritual ability to do one. One of those do you have.
Yeah, it's like hair color. You're not going to have
You might have both genes, but one's dominant, one's not. The Avatar, I think, has all of those inside him, that he is like, Aang is air dominant, the rest recessive. So, and that he's, but since the spirit is brought on, he can trigger all of them. So that the Avatar, again, all of them inside him, but Aang, Aang's air dominant, the rest recessive, the Avatar spirit lets him trigger all the recessive gene and lets him bring it out inside so he can bend all four elements.
Right.
I guess that's one of those many possibilities.
Mm-hmm. I have another question. So when the Avatar cycle comes around to the airbenders again, what will happen to the dominant and recessive traits?
I'm not certain what you mean. Go into that a little bit more.
Because there's going to be no more airbenders left. And
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
Unless Aang reproduces himself and creates more airbenders. Yeah.
Right, but obviously any of his children would be a half and half. Which brings up another question. This is kind of crazy since I'm sure that the show doesn't even begin to think about this sort of thing or have to worry about it. But if you think about it in a real life sense, if you have, airbenders marrying airbenders, having children airbenders, isn't that kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of keeping it in the family? I mean, how many initial airbending families were there to start with? I mean, is the genetic line pure enough now that you don't have kids who come out looking like Ross Perot and play banjo?
You mean like they're all benders? I know you like that, or?
We know that if you have only a small group of people who interbreed with each other, of course, you start having less and less purity in the genetic line. And so would it in fact be, if you have someone, let's say from two different nations, airbender marrying firebender, you would have, you'd have a group of people who would be even stronger in their ability to bend. They'd have stronger genes, stronger bending ability.
I think that's all spiritual. I think the genes go as far as you can bend or you can't. You can bend this element, you can't. I think that I don't think that it like moves on genetically. If you can just train them like that, but I think it stops at whether you can or you can't. I don't know if you could have a gene telling how good you can bend or not.
Yeah, again, like I said, that's probably, crazy over-speculation, but I guess that's what we're here for.
So I got into before, what if Aang does have, what if Aang does have children? So here's here's like the add-on I have. If Katara and Aang have a child, or this could actually go with anyone else, but Aang's genes are Air dominant, because he was born to the air nomads, and the rest is recessive. That, as I've said before, air dominant, rest recessive. Katara is probably water dominant, no bending recessive, as her dad is not a bender, so we can assume either her mom was or she got both. But, so we can assume her mom was bender. So we can be water, none. So there, Katara...
Or it could skip a generation.
Yeah, it actually could, hiding through the recessive genes. But for the point of this theory, let's say that she's... Katara's mom's a bender. Or we could skip through, but I don't want to get into that. So then the three... Here's the four scenarios on the... Whatever this was called. So then it's air, dominant, water, recessive. Air, dominant, non-bending, recessive. The rest, dominant, water, recessive. And then the rest, dominant. And then the last child is the rest, dominant, and non-recessive. So then... So here's the result. Child number one could either be an airbender or waterbender, depending on which is dominant. So it's a half a chance air, half a chance water. Child number two would either be an air because Aang is, because the air is airbender, because the air gene is Aang's dominant and the non is Katara's recessive. So 100% chance air. And then child number three would be a waterbender because water is from the rest and Katara would be water. So the rest combines with Katara's water, 100% water. Child number four could either be a firebender, waterbender, earthbender, nonbender, equal chance for all since they're all recessive. So putting the percentages into this, if they have one child, 37.5% chance airbender, 41.65625% chance waterbender, 4.15625% chance earthbender, 4.15625% chance firebender, and 12.5% chance nonbender. Doesn't exactly equal 100, but it's close. So according to my theory, most chance waterbender, or if Aang marries a firebender for some reason, then with the fire non, it would be most chance firebender. So air is taking a back seat no matter what, because Aang has other dominants present. But air has a huge chance. It's like more than a third that their child would be air.
So Aang's going to have to get his freak on a lot to get more of a chance.
So
to have
three children, one of them will be air.
I had flashbacks to math class in high school. Wow. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of those ways.
Yeah.
Makes a little sense there. Yeah.
Poor airbenders. All whittled down to one avatar.
But seriously, if there are no airbenders left except Aang, and then Aang's dead by the time the next avatar rolls around, and the next avatar is going to be an airbender, so...
If what Kevin is saying is true, then the air gene carries over from avatar to avatar, so it doesn't matter. It just, the gene comes with the spirit. Maybe that'll happen.
Right. I mean, let's say you do have an avatar that is born after Aang, and there are no more airbenders. He never has kids. Is that next avatar in the next cycle not going to be able to bend air?
Interesting. Well,
of course he is.
Of course he is. So there might be something that might carry over, hopefully.
Okay, so we're getting into something we shouldn't probably get into because it would take too long. So let's move on to our fan creation. Okay.
What's next?
Fan creation segment on a fanfic. We're going to be reviewing.
Don't fall in love with a traveling girl. She'll leave you broken heart.
This will be the first of our fan creation review segments, where we will be reviewing fan creations by you guys. It will be today's segment will be on Homecoming and Parties, a Katang fanfic by Live the Magic, rated T. The general premise of Homecoming and Parties is that the Avatar characters in our real-life world. The main ship is Katang, with the little Sokka and Suki. So basically, the story follows, they're in the Avatar universe, and Aang, Katara, Sokka, who else is in there? Zuko, Azula, Mei, Ty Lee, Tio, Toph, a lot of people.
Oh, a whole bunch. Tio, group,
Uncle Gyatso.
Uncle Gyatso,
yes. That's great. She does a great job taking the context from the Avatar world, putting it in the real world. Aang lives separated off in this house way out there. His uncle's Gyatso, Katara and Toph live with Gran-Gran, and by themselves, near people. Toph has way overprotective parents that don't let her do anything, and she's still blind in the story. Yeah, really.
It's kind of like another AU, like Ural's doing on DeviantArt.
Sokka's like the lackey for Azula, Mei, Ty Lee. And, Tio. Yeah, Mean Girls.
The Mean Girls.
And Tio is like going out with Toph. So, the story is Katang, and then the story follows Aang and Katara as their relationship progresses. It starts off as they each have huge crushes on each other, known each other since, like, they've been four. And then it's like Katara's thrown on Aang or something, as Sokka calls it in there. And Aang has had a crush on Katara since Sokka says, since he knew since fourth grade. And then they eventually go on a fake date a year ago that kind of set up by them at Valentine's dinner. And then basically homecoming comes up as Aang goes into high school and Katara's there. Makes him, the story only is from grade older.
And oh, so the teenage
Aang
drama.
Has to figure out when he's going to ask Katara to homecoming and then Katara's birthday party. And yeah, so pretty much their relationship progresses and then gets way up there, as it's pretty much fluff from there on out for Kettingers. It's a great story for... Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's really fun. I liked how they, you know, like I said, like she did the parallels of a real-world universe versus these kind of characters and their positions in that place kind of plugged into real-world situations.
Yeah,
and,
very interesting. For
and roles, you know.
I also like your use of diction. Like, there's no repetitiveness and...
Oh, yeah, one of the hallmarks of some, you know... fan fiction that's starting off, of course, yeah. No, did a very good job. Did a very good job writing it.
Yeah, now
it reads well.
A little repetitive.
Text is good.
Yes.
It avoids Mary Sueisms. Very important, too. Very important, too. No Mary Sues in there.
Probably be Katara.
Or Gary Stews.
They eliminate that in Chapter 12, definitely, with that huge scene that she has. And, but yeah, it's the relationship. It kind of, the only main thing that I'll have a little complaint about is that it gets stuck. For, like, chapters maybe... 5 to 12, it's like stuck all in one spot, but then where else can you go when you're a teenager, really? It's just the same thing over and over, but I, of course, like that same thing, Kettinger, but...
Mm-hmm. Now, how many chapters are we up 13. To already? Is it 13?
Yeah, definitely.
13 chapters, right, and it's still ongoing.
She should update it soon.
Okay, and where...
Oh, yeah.
And where can everybody find this?
Fanfiction.net, it's called Homecoming and Parties, and the link is... It's a fanfiction.net/s for story and then /32653101/1 for chapter 1. So, yeah, long URLs there. Anyone want to score it? I'd probably give it, like, 9.5 out of 10. I love it.
Oh, I will always give every fan creation a 10 out of 10. Highly enjoyable. I'm serious. I'm all for the artistic and creative side. I think everybody should keep on it, keep writing stories, keep doing artwork. I think that's great.
No,
we
seriously.
Need less doctors and lawyers in this world. That is until I need legal help or medical assistance.
Jason,
then we need lots more.
Yeah.
I'll give her a solid scale. Yeah, because each chapter gets really... It represents each character like the show does, and with the real...
I'd say this is for if you're a cat, I'd definitely read this. If you're neutral, even, this would be a good fix, since they're not really in the Avatar world. They're, like, new characters. And if you don't ship, like, any Aang and Katara things, but if you're Zutara, you might not actually like them. Yeah.
It's a fun read. We highly recommend it.
From the Spirit Worlds. 2 thumbs up. Okay. So, if you want...
Good job.
Yes, live the magic.
Good job, live the magic.
If you want your fan creation reviewed by us, send it to podcast@dongbufang.net. We'll get it up there. Or else I'm going to have to keep reviewing
fanfics.
I know how much you all love.
Help us!
So yeah, let's go to our closing and the title coming up next. The title is going to be revealed. I know you all love that. I am going to reveal the 307 title. And since Jake isn't here, I'll be revealing it. It is the real title. Because it is. Because we said so. Yeah, it's come from Jake's contact. So, here's the little drum roll. Seven title is the 307. Okay, buildings of Java. It is The Runaway. Yes, The Runaway. THE RUNAWAY. And several people actually got it. Jason got it because I helped him a little bit still. One Froggy 13, United Shoes, TG, Randy, Stephanie, and Nina Pamu. Other people got it but didn't send it in, so send it in next time to get your name on the podcast. Any quick speculation, anyone?
When I first heard the title, I thought slaves.
Maybe Fire Nation slaves? Yeah, that's interesting.
Could be someone from the Fire Nation who, like Zhang Zhang.
Yeah.
Zhang Zhang ran away from the Fire Nation army, so.
Yeah.
Or what about someone from the Fire Nation's royal family?
Ursa. I don't know, I thought this is going to be a flashback episode.
Could be Ty Lee.
Ursa, how she ran away. Maybe she's here now. There are definitely more possibilities on this, though. It's a very, very general title.
Definitely.
Yeah, maybe next podcast we'll talk about
We'll get into it in a later podcast.
The title of The Runaway. We'll leave you off with that. Well, the 308 title will be revealed maybe within the next month, I'd say. You'll have a good time with this one.
Speculate away.
And, well, this is a pretty good podcast. I like this one. I like our new format here. So, yeah, I've been your main host. Co-host been Jason and Kevin.
Okay, sorry.
AJ's our technical director. I edit it, which isn't so much his work now with our new format. And Dong Wu Feng is, of course, ran by Jake, who chickened out on this podcast. Yes, Jake's Pool Dude. Okay.
His name is Pool Dude, for those of you who don't know.
Yep. So, yeah.
Chicken dog.
Yeah. So we'll leave you off with this a little
We love you. We love you, Jake.
Interview by Kevin, and interviewing Toph and Sokka.
A little bit, ask him a few questions that the fans had
so here you go.
About shipping. So
take
here
it
we go.
Away,
why don't you go ahead and play that?
Kevin, Toph, and, Tevin, Toph, and Sokka.
Enjoy.
Goodbye, everyone. See you next week.
Hello, hello, and welcome one and all to our exclusive sit-down interview with a certain fellow we've all come to know as a consummate ladies' man. Please introduce yourself, sir.
They call me Sokka.
That's right. And joining him will be Master Earthbender and fellow companion in their fight against the Fire Lord, Toph Beifong.
What are you doing here?
Just enjoying the show.
Yeah, sorry about the late notice on that one, Sokka, but I invited her here because we want to discuss something that's been quite the debate amongst fans with you two. But first, for those who may not know you so well, I'd like it if you could both sum up your personalities for us in one or two short sentences. Toph, could you go first?
I'm 12 years old and I've never had a real friend.
Reminds me of my childhood. Sokka, how about you?
I am not an oaf.
You mean despite all evidence to the contrary, right?
That was a good one. You know what else is a good one?
Something struck me in the rear.
Ouch. Oh, guys, please, come on. Let's be civil here.
You probably think I deserve this, don't you?
Well, truthfully, I kind of see all this playful roughhousing between you two as evidence of some of the issues the fans are bringing up.
You think I have issues?
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. It's just that a lot of the fandom thinks you two are actually kind of romantically involved.
I'm out of here.
Whoa. Hang on. Please don't leave. Wait, just hear me out for a second, okay? You have to admit, there is some evidence out there that really supports the two of you being shipped.
I'm not usually into that stuff.
I know, you're tough and independent, but what about the time you two got kind of cozy holding on to each other when you flew on Appa back to Ba Sing Se?
That doesn't prove anything.
Okay, well, what about the time then that Toph tried to kiss you when she thought you'd saved her at the Serpent's Pass? I mean, you can't deny that angle.
Yeah, whatever. There's no different angle, no clever solution, no chickity-chick.
Oh, I gotta remember that one.
What's your problem?
I am so sorry.
Yeah, you are sorry.
Nothing personal.
It's okay. Let's call a truce.
Hey, I'm sorry too, guys. I didn't mean to cause any trouble with this. I myself am honestly not a shipper, though I do think you two make a really cute couple.
Okay, you convinced me. You're awfully cute.
I am?
Oh my gosh, I think he really means it.
This time we're going to try something a little different. I know it's probably hard for you to see me this way, but I love you. So now that you see who I really am, I hope it doesn't change the way you feel about me.
Secret love cave, let's go.
Yes.
Young ladies, I rocked ya!
That's kinda creepy, but I'm happy for you guys. Now you just gotta make sure you avoid all the murderous Tang and Tai Loka shippers. Right?
Just play your songs.
Yes sir, that I can do. Thank you Sokka and Toph for being here, and thank you all for listening. This was a DongBuFang.net interview exclusive. And is there any final word of advice you'd like to give all the shippers out there?
Relax.
Sound advice.